The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's just the
greatest. To the championship game.
And especially Mahomes finding Allen for this hug. Just the greatest. Who right now wants to see them play again? Right now. Who would change the overtime rule? All of you? And wait, there's more. The greatest weekend professional football in America ever. Hold on to your butts. Let's go. Am I clear here? All of you are raising your hands to change the overtime rule to allow for both teams to get the ball. Is that true?
Like, can I put both hands and both feet up?
Well, let's start there then. I was going to start with the greatest game conversation, but you guys flipped the coin. We're going to do overtime. I mean, just an incredible gut punch here because Kansas City proposed the rule change after they lost that way in the title game 3 years ago to Tom Brady. It never made it to vote. And another gut punch. Josh Allen was 9-0 going out for coin tosses this season. He was 0-2 in this game. So on one side is the idea that a coin figures so prominently in the overtime rules here in a game of chance, really. But the other side is, hey, defense is part of the game. Go play defense, Buffalo. That's what some people say. They had their chance in regulation and blew it with 13 seconds left. Some people play. Are we giving out participation trophies to everybody? Some people say that as well. Pablo Torre, around the horn to you. Did you find yourself thinking this amazing, glorious football game ended in a fair way?
I think it was a fair end, Tony, for all the reasons that you alluded to, right? We all know the rules going in. There are plenty of opportunities for the Bills to win, but fairness is not satisfaction, and I was deeply unsatisfied, as I think everybody who wanted more of what we got in the actual game itself, right? The exchange, the back and forth. You're telling me that a league that loves money as much as the NFL is letting a piece of literal currency, a coin, prevent it from expanding its business in the postseason? I don't care about the regular season. In the playoffs, though, the offense of the other team should have a chance to rebut the argument of the opposing team, because right now, Tony, it's 10-1. That's the record for teams that win the coin toss. 10-1. This thing matters.
10-1 in the new overtime rules in the playoffs.
Yes.
The team that wins the coin toss is 10-1 in overtime. Kevin Blackiston, I'll bring you in here. You raised your hand. You believe the overtime rules should change as well?
Sure, I believed it the last time it happened with the Vikings and the Saints. I believe it when it happened with the Chiefs a couple seasons ago. I believe that each team should get an opportunity to score a touchdown. After that, all bets are off the table. And you know what? In this game in particular, because that's what we wanted to see. I mean, the first three quarters of this game were great, but it were kind of sluggish, and they were punching each other, and then all of a sudden we have this explosion in just a few minutes in the fourth quarter, and I literally could not get enough of it. I was glued to the screen like I'm sure everybody was. And
let me just oppose you here, Kevin Blackiston. Play defense. If you're Buffalo, play defense.
They did play defense. Both teams played defense against quarterbacks who were absolutely on fire. Those are two of the best quarterbacks in the league. And let's not forget, the Buffalo Bills did have the best defense in the NFL this year. They were just getting shredded by God.
Well, that didn't really make your case for you. Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in here. The coin toss, the overtime rule, the way this game ended, was it fair? Was it satisfying?
It was, of course, fair because those are the rules. It was, of course, deeply unsatisfying. And for those who argue defense, yeah, you could say that after the fact, and you could say it's a part of the game. It's a part of the game. If NFL games were decided by a coin flip at the beginning, and then you said, all right, you get four quarters of Chiefs offense and Bills defense, and if the Chiefs don't hit this number of points, the Bills win, then that would be a satisfying ending. That's not how football works. You get the opportunity to both play offense and defense, and the way they currently have the overtime, you don't get both of those. So it's not satisfying. We all saw what was happening in this game. Whichever offense and whichever quarterback had the ball was going to find a way to get their team to score. So a coin flip shouldn't decide which of those extremely effective folks, who, by the way, combined for 844 yards of offense and no interceptions.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a second.
Should be the
I'm
one
still
that
on the
wins
rule
because
here.
Of that.
If I could just insert some science into this. A Twitter poll. The people, 80-20, also with you, in favor of changing the rule. George Sedano, I'll bring you in here. Does the rule need to change after a game like this? Were you satisfied with the result?
Tony, I wasn't satisfied. You know, for those that are making the argument against it, whether it's defense, those are the same people that also probably were okay with the NFL over the last decade or so legislating the offensive rules to put the defense at a disadvantage. So you can't have it both ways. And here's the other part of the argument. So what are you going to argue, that, you know, these guys are going to be out there forever? And how's that a problem? Keep injecting this thing right into my vein every single time. Again, I just think that the NFL has done a really good job historically of looking at the rules to benefit the offense. Why wouldn't they continue to do that in this case?
It's impossible to remember everything of how we got here. But all-time career-making pantheon-level plays made by Josh Allen and Gabriel Davis, who had a game for all ages, and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. This play was incredible, and somehow he avoids getting a taunting penalty at the end. It's the kickoff, though, right? With 13 seconds left. It's the defense on the two plays from space-time continuum would say none of this was possible. George, was it more about Buffalo's mistake to kick off or KC's approach to you?
Oh, I hate this question because it makes it feel like I'm taking away from Kansas City's greatness, which, by the way, is incredible because Patrick Mahomes, in his playoff career, 42 touchdowns, only 28 punts for Kansas City. But I did a lot of investigative reporting here, Tony. I called a bunch of players who played in the NFL, and I Googled. And you know what they all came up with? You should have squib kicked, because the math tells you so. If you squib kick, the average squib kick takes 5 to 6 seconds off the clock. All of a sudden, now you're not looking at 13 seconds, perhaps better field position, but not by much. You can squib kick it to the second line of the kicking team, and then all of a sudden, you have way less time. The math is in your favor if you squib
kick. Sarah Spain.
I think it's very easy to argue either side of that, George. I think you can argue after you see the results that a squib kick would have been better because it would have offered less time. I think you could also argue if they squib kicked it and had much better field position, then Mahomes, with the amount of timeouts that they had, could have easily worked his way down the field and perhaps gotten a touchdown instead of been limited.
Easily worked his way.
Well, we saw how easily he went 75 yards or whatever at any moment in that game. We saw how easy it was to go the length of the field and score in less time than we ever thought imaginable. So, yeah, but he could have had a touchdown instead of been limited to a 49-yard field goal if the field position had changed, and then we wouldn't have had overtime at all. So, to me, I think it's playing the result. Either one of those could have given you an option to win or to lose.
Evan Blackstone.
Well, Romo Stradamus did not wait until after the play. I think he suggested then and there that they should not kick it into the end zone, that they should force a return to take time off the clock. And I think Jim Nance agreed, and I wholeheartedly agreed, and certainly when you see the results, you've got to agree. I think that was a smart thing to do. You can't give these guys any time anymore. We've seen this too often, and we've seen it from Mahomes. We've seen it from Tom Brady. We've seen it
Josh
from
Josh Allen
from
last
Rogers.
Night. Yeah. We've seen it both exactly. times. Too much time. Too much
all
time.
The
too
time.
Much time.
Yeah, so you can't.
And then
do
in
that,
overtime, so there wasn't enough time. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Look, it's funny to make this criticism because my pupils were dilated. I was on the floor watching this game through my fingers. I had no sense of the context
the game,
of
yeah.
the moment, right? But I was watching this game, and in retrospect, Sarah has a really good point in terms of what the Chiefs might have done, even if you did squib kick, right? Who do you put back there? I don't know, maybe Tyreek Hill. And then what happens, right? Chaos in a different sense. To me, this was about just how absurd Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense was. You can retroactively criticize the Bills. I just don't think there's any guarantee they would have gotten a win just based on a squib.
Recency bias. This is one of my favorite phrases because you always get that one. You never get nostalgia bias, which also exists in the same measure. But legit question. Andy Reid told Mahomes after the game, when it's grim, be the Grim Reaper. Actually, before the last drive of the game. And he said it then after the game. That's all-time bars from Andy Reid.
Yes.
But, Sarah, was this the most thrilling NFL game you've ever seen, or is that the dreaded recency bias?
Ooh, no. I mean, it might be recency bias, and nostalgia would lead you to your own teams in whatever game was most thrilling for you personally. But as someone who didn't have a favorite in this game, who just was watching, I wanted to throw up on behalf of both sides, right? And then I wanted to smoke a cigarette post-coital. It was like all the emotions at once without having a team. But that's my point is, normally that only happens when your team is in it, and I didn't have one.
Okay.
It was insane.
Real loud.
Yeah.
Imprison me in this moment. Okay, go ahead. George Sedano, how about you?
Tony, there's one stat that proves it is the greatest thing, okay, that we've seen in the playoffs. The first time in NFL history that we've had four go-ahead scores in 2 minutes, in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter or overtime. That's all you need
Pablo,
to know.
Pablo, will you think of it more as a Josh Allen game, a Patrick Mahomes game, or just fireworks in general?
It's the Josh Allen game because he proved that he can hang in the way that Patrick Mahomes uniquely can hang. But the prison you refer to, Tony, I think of Buffalo Bills fans, man. Prisoner of the moment, sure, for the rest of us. Actual psychological prison for them. I feel so bad.
They have suffered.
They don't think it was the greatest game. They think it was the worst
tragic
game.
Tragic losses, excruciating losses, I should say, in the history of the game. But what do you say to them, Bills fans right now, Kevin Blackstone, and what do you say to Josh Allen during this offseason?
Well, I'd say they've got a future in front of them. They've got a really good team, a fantastic quarterback, and this isn't like the Bills team that lost four Super Bowls in a row in the early 90s, and I'm probably the only panelist here who was actually at one of those games. So they've got a future to look forward to, and they did play one of the most exciting games. But I must say that as the most mature panelist here today, that I can remember way back when Tom Brady almost brought his Buccaneers team back in the last moments against the Rams team. Man, that was a hell of a game.
I know what you said, and you wanted to smoke a cigarette, Sarah, afterwards.
Not literally.
I was just sitting on the couch for like an hour afterwards, and I watched all of CSI Hawaii or something. I'd never done that before. That's how good and exhausting it was. Speaking of being exhausted and spent.
Then he came right back to Kelsey real quick, and I'm catching a cramp right now as we speak. Oh, my God.
Oh, cramp. Tyreek was cramping at 20 minutes of the game. We'll be back by yourself. PT, man.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The last two plays from that LA-Tampa game Blackstone was just talking about. Cooper Kupp had a top three season all time for wide receivers. This is how he got the ball. And the two most important plays of the game, I mean, you can't have that deep. It's Stafford's pass, perfect. And some very quick spotting from what looks like the back judge in front of the play, not the umpire from behind the play. Good to see they fixed that. George, now that this game has been able to settle a bit, 24 hours since, you find yourself thinking the Bucs blew it with all their personal fouls, busted coverage, or are you crediting the Rams for surviving?
Tony, I'm crediting the Rams. They're the first team since the 1975 Steelers to win a playoff game with four turnovers or more in a game. By the way, Brady was 49-0 heading into this one if his opponent had four turnovers or more in a game. He's now 49-1. And Matt Stafford, as you mentioned, 10 of 15 against the Blitz, including that last
one. So you're crediting them for having four turnovers. Very odd strategy there, Mr. Sedano. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Yeah, I was going to say, my answer was the same. The way I got there was not the same. I'm not sure how you would have to credit the Bucs for losing despite forcing four turnovers. No, this was a Rams team, and we came into the game, and we said, this is how they win. Pressure on Brady without blitzing. This is a team that if Matt Stafford doesn't throw the ball away, they are better equipped right now. They are peaking at a better time than a Bucs team is suffering injuries, and they managed to close it out in a way that they could have 28-3'd it, and instead they stayed strong.
Well, they 27-3'd it, but I'm not getting enough
that close.
Stafford talk right now. Kevin Blackstone, give it to me.
Hey, look, this was all about the Rams. They were literally snatching victory from the jaws of defeat in going against Tom Brady here. That's what they did. I mean, they had the turnovers. They made this a close game, unnecessary, and everyone in America all of a sudden thought Tom Brady somehow is going to pull this out. But Matthew Stafford was able to put together that last drive. They went down the middle to an unbelievably open Cooper Kupp. Don't know how that happened.
Don't know how that happened.
And
but again,
game.
I mean, you said Stafford's name once, but I need more Matthew Stafford here. Pablo Torre, go.
All right, look, I will give you all the Matthew Stafford, Tony, because Matthew Stafford was hired to do this job. They paid and mortgaged their entire future for that drive. And I want to be fair also to the Bucs here, right? It's no small thing to come down back from 27-3. Matthew Stafford almost helped choke the game away. But that last drive, Tony, to Cooper Kupp, that's the whole reason he exists in L.A., and he pulled it off. The result justifies
the process.
Was
incredible fumbles from Akers and from Kupp, and the snap that got past Stafford, though, that's not really Stafford's fault. Blackstone, you said they snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. It was the jaws of tie, right? And then it would have been from the jaws of a coin toss is what they snatched it from. We'll move on. Any normal divisional weekend, this is the game you're talking about for hours and calling it all time. But this one, not this weekend. Here's Tom Brady, though. Let's talk about Brady.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see.
Do any of you really think Tom Brady could retire after that game, Sarah?
You keep asking us questions and looking for an answer, so let me see if I can figure out what you're looking for at this one. It's not Stafford. It's about Brady. And I do think that there is a possibility, because his legend is already so written, that he could decide, if we don't have enough to bring all the players back for next year to be another Super Bowl shot, I don't want to go through this all over again. I'm this close to having one last year. I'll get out. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think he knows, based on his own records that he broke this season and how effective he still was, that he is far from the reason his team didn't win, and he's not going to be ready to leave until he's at least a little bit closer to less effective.
There was nothing this season that suggested to me, or I think anyone else, that Tom Brady was at the end of his line here. There was nothing in this game, in fact, that suggested that. Sure, he got bloodied and he got mad and he got his first personal foul in his career. So what? He was ticked off, and he should have been. Tom Brady will be back, and he'll be back in the playoffs.
At some point soon, Tony, Tom Brady will become a high T Gwyneth Paltrow, creating a goop empire for men. He's going to do this soon, just not quite yet.
Madonna, you're shaking your head.
I can see it all, but he's coming back for another year.
Tony, he's got all the records, and when you're starting to talk about it in the way he did, where he was basically non-committal, I already think you have kind of at least an idea that you're at least potentially thinking that you're not going to be back. And their cap situation isn't great. Gronk, Chris Godwin, Ndamukong Suh, and Jason Pierre-Paul are all free agents. Their cap space isn't great. It's possible.
You think it's possible? I mean, you're sussing what he said there. Who said anything after a loss like that? Everyone wants to take it day by day, just move on. It was a tough loss. How San Francisco went into Green Bay and beat the Packers? That's buy or sell three. Any normal divisional weekend, this is the game you're talking about for hours and hours. I love this Deebo Samuel play. Won the game for San Francisco. KB, now that this one's been able to settle for about 44 hours, you find yourself thinking Packers blew it with their blah offense, or are you crediting the Niners for surviving?
Well, I'm going to credit the Niners for surviving. I'm going to credit them for playing defense, for only allowing 10 points from an Aaron Rodgers team, for beating Aaron Rodgers with just 13 points, the lowest total he's ever lost by in a situation like this. I mean, look, they bottled those guys up and they took advantage of some injuries that happened that game. Aaron Rodgers lost his left tackle, then they lost Dylan, and then the temperature and the snow change. I know you love snow, Tony. And look, the 49ers won in Packers weather. I give them credit for that.
Look, Aaron Rodgers has a tendency, Tony, under pressure, under duress, to go find his human binky, Davante Adams. He did it over and over again, even when Alan Lazard, on that big third down in the fourth quarter, 3 minutes left, is crossing the middle of the field undefended. He goes and targeted Davante Adams and Aaron Jones 21 of 29 times. So it's on Rodgers today.
George Sedano.
It's on Rodgers, Tony. He had the worst QBR he's had in his playoff career, and he plays it too safe. You got to take chances. That Niners secondary was one of the worst in the league this year, as particularly their corners, and he took no advantage of that.
Yeah, he didn't, because the Niners' defensive front and the stunts that they kept doing kept him off balance all game long. We know that this is a guy that can run around in the pocket, can make the opportunities for himself, is going to take those shots every game. He didn't take them. The Niners wouldn't let him get a shot because of the way they defended him. So this is on the Niners and their game plan. And there was a pun in there, maybe.
That'll get your points per game up, but not enough to get into the showdown. Blackstone, Sedano, talking Bengals over the Titans. Showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and Blackstone, is this going to come down to a coin toss? How the Bengals went into Tennessee, thrashed the Titans in front of all those Titans fans. On any normal divisional weekend, this is the game you're talking about for hours, calling it all time. But not this week, this weekend. We're just too stuffed. One showdown for all the marbles here, George. Was this about Tennessee throwing away a one-seed season or the emerging Cincinnati Bengals?
Tony, there was a smart panelist on this show last week that said Ryan Tannehill was the worst quarterback left in the tournament. Albeit, though, this is about the Bengals. Joe Burrow, 10 of 11 on third downs, okay? You haven't seen that since Nick Foles back in the 2017 NFC Championship game. And they're the ultimate underdog. They won by a field goal, and we're putting them in showdown. Come on.
Kevin Blackstone.
I don't want to take any shine off of the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow stepped up when he had to step up, but I cannot look at this game and not think about what Mike Vrabel did early on when they went up 7-6. They got a penalty on the extra point. He decided to take points off the board to go for two, just to possibly go up 8-6, which does you nothing. And instead, he finds himself in a situation where he puts his horrible quarterback in an even worse situation. He throws a pick and a rush, and they lose the game on a
field. Well, I'm glad you don't want to take any shine away from Cincinnati there, Black.
No, I don't.
Honestly, after this weekend, that feels like it was before the pandemic, that game and that play. George Sedano, a true underdog story. Today's winner.
Thank you, Tony. I want to shout out Ayoka Lee, who set the Division I women's basketball record with 61 points this weekend. She surpassed Rachel Banham and Cindy Brown, who previously had the record tied at 60. Here's just some interesting nuggets on this. All right, 331 Division I women's teams have at least not scored 60 points in one game this season. That's 2,016 games where a team in the women's game has not scored at least 60 points. Shout out to Ayoka Lee.
What a day. We're going to need an hour to get to the rest of it. We'll see you tomorrow.